Raj did a great job. I think we are sitting around 2 Samuel chapter 20. Let's look at this. And as we look at this, I want you to understand and look at what is it that is a nice ensemble. I just saw those boots. What are, okay, very good. Very good. Caught my attention back there. All right, that's a detour. Yeah, all right. 2 Samuel chapter 20, as we look at this, I want us to understand what's happening in that particular day and why. And then let's see if there's any application for us today. Here we go. Verse 20, and there happened to be a man of Belial. I looked at the translation of Belial. That means worthlessness. Whose name was Sheba, though I did not look up to see what Sheba's name meant. The son of Bichri, or Bechri, but whatever, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel went up from David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. We have several characters in the story. Name them for me, please.
Sheba.
We've got Sheba. We're going to leave that father out of that. So we got Sheba. Who else we got? We got Israel. And we've got
Saul, son of Jesse.
Saul, son of Jesse? No. That's David. It's the son of Jesse. So David could be in here. Yep. And we've got Judah. So we've really got three, because David, unfortunately, in the previous chapter, I don't know if Roger covered this or not, when Israel comes to David and says in the previous chapter, "Hey, why have the men of Judah stolen you away from us?" They're talking to David, and David never responds. And David should have stepped up and said something about this that might have been able to diffuse the controversy that's coming. All right, so let's look at the... Yes, sir.
Sheba means seven.
Sheba means seven? Let me write that down in my notes. Sheba means seven. Well, he's far from the level of perfection that he needs to be. But just because you got a name doesn't mean you're representing. Okay, here we go. All right. So, question. Let's do the background again. There's a beef here because the people are... Israel is upset, and they've had an argument with Judah. And the Judah argument was more fierce. And they were like, "Hey, how come we're not the ones? How come we're being ignored?" And I think the word they used was despised. "You've despised us or disrespected us in the manner in which the king is being brought back. We should have had a larger role to play." Scratching my head going, "You rebellious rascals." How do you think that you... Anyway. So there's a family beef or conflict going on here. Y'all don't know anything about family conflict. Anyway, that's what's going on here. So Sheba says, "We have no part in David." Interesting, is that true or false?
It's false.
Because the previous chapter, I'm sure Roger covered this, Israel said, "We've got greater claim to David than you people of Judah have. We've got 10 parts in him." So now Sheba comes and says, "Okay, so we have no part in David. Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse," calls him the son of Jesse. Is that false? That's false too. So he tells two lies, all right, and convinces everybody to go back to their tents and not follow the king. Yes.
Well, you got to remember, he's a Benjamite, and that's where Saul is, yep, the tribe of Benjamin.
Right. So they're going back to the old thing that they just got delivered from. Oh, we do that. Mm-hmm. Now, question. Why is Sheba successful in turning the people away from following the king when they just said a chapter ago, that why have we not brought the king back? Why is David the king not ruling in our life? And then something happens between the declaration of their self-evaluation where they go, looking at the bad decision we made, why have we not put Christ, I mean the king, back in our life to rule over our decision? Why have we not allowed him to serve us? And yet something happens between that chapter and now that causes them to say, we don't have anything to do with the king. Where it seems the following of the king, or the placement of the king, or the rule of the king is no longer the focus. What happened? I agree, a spirit of rebellion. How did it get in? If you can figure out the root cause of what happened from the previous chapter, when it's like, whew, God save the king, to we ain't following him anymore. Tell me what happened in the story. And if you can understand what happened in the story, you'll understand why some of us do what we do.
But I think they want to be responsible for the sovereignty of David, and when they're not.
Okay.
Focus on another God.
Off of God. Yes, focus off God. What caused them to not put God at the center of their joy? Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Pardon? Worldly? Okay, worldly things. All right, worldly things is one of them.
Their pride. Their pride, because they
pride.
They don't look good.
Pride. They don't look good. They don't look as good as Judah. So there's a pride thing going on here. Okay? It's a pride thing. What else can cause you to reject the ten? You know what? Roger just gave you the summary. When it all boils down, it's going to be pride. Because that's the thing that knocks you out of the first step in right relationship with God, because pride is the opposite of humility. But what are some particular things that's happening in the story? Talk to me. I don't want to just give you the answer. Work this thing out. Look at the story. What happened? What happened? What happened in the story? What happened? What happened?
Well, they were wrong.
They were wrong. At least they felt like they were wrong.
They were wrong.
You're saying they were wrong.
They didn't go with the king.
But why did they not go with the king? I'm not going to give you a pass on this.
I think
Roger hit the summary of it, but I need to know the specifics.
Well, for one thing, they're feeling guilty, but now David didn't step up for them.
David didn't step up for them? Okay.
You don't know that he should have.
What? Somebody said jealousy. All right, there's some jealousy involved. All right. Yes, sir. I know, but they talk good. They went through the steps. We already covered this. They went through the steps. They went through the steps. They humbled themselves. They repented. They brought him back. I mean, they were. Davy. They followed the steps. They were in a right relationship when they said, "Why have we not brought back the king?" What happened? See, this is what happened to set them off. That's related to pride and jealousy. Give me the specifics.
Somebody had something that they wanted or that they didn't get.
Okay. Who was it?
Land.
Possessions. There was an argument.
Yeah.
Who was the argument with? Judah. Are Judah and Israel related?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's one thing that'll set you off. Here's one thing, especially during the holidays. This is one thing that'll set you off. All right? I see two smiles and a head nod and a head nod. I got head nod
in the foot right now.
I got three smiles, a head nod, and two confused looks. All right, all right.
At a parking
bench. Have you ever had an issue with family members?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No way.
And has the issue with the family members caused you to stop following the king?
Yeah.
So look at what's happening in this story. Family members, loved ones, different tribes, but same community.
Split.
Jealous because one ain't getting what the other's getting.
Or not as much, whatever.
One felt despised.
Yeah.
So when despised means I feel disrespected. So now you got family drama, all right? I got you. We got family drama that's causing somebody to not focus on the kid. That'll throw you off. Then you got disrespect. And I'm just going to talk to the guys. If you feel disrespected, it'll throw you off. So, I got to be careful. I got to be careful because I'm mic'd up. Let me just go to my notes or whatever. I wrote down, family and kinfolk drama can cause you to reject the king. Let me tell you something else that can cause you to reject the king. When you feel disrespected.
Wow.
And it's really big for guys, I think, more than anything else or whatever. Just because we're driven off that whole respect thing. And when somebody... When you sense that somebody has disrespected you, it'll throw you out of alignment. In fact, I think the enemy causes some things to happen. So, you know what? You could be on your merry way and doing things, and the king is great, and Christ is the king, and Christ is the king in your life, and he's the focus of your life or whatever, and all of a sudden, you got some family drama. Either it's with kinfolk, either it's with kids, it's with spouses or whatever, and it'll throw you out of alignment. And then all of a sudden, the king, who is prominent in the relationship, is now put on the shelf. Or you got this respect thing, and because of the respect thing or whatever, you feel despised or disrespected or whatever, you go off and you'll fall. And the focus won't be on the king. You had your hand up. I'm sorry. I almost forgot you.
Yeah, I think you kind of said some of it, but for me, still trying to understand it, when I look back at the previous verses in 40 through 43, and it's talking about where that disagreement had came in, and it was who was closer to the king, and then conversations aroused and words got heavy.
Once words get heavy,
it's that one person that gonna gather everybody around that we ain't gonna take this and. Pretty much a lot.
And he grows and grows and grows.
Yeah, so, and now you convince him, and you go to 43, and you look at it where now Israel's trying to convince Judah that, look, we got more invested in him than y'all do, and, you know, so it's almost going back and forth, so now you see,
Is David there an application for today?
It was on the news this morning.
What was on the news this morning?
Yeah. Well, if you think of America as a family,
okay,
different tribes,
the same umbrella.
Yes,
all right,
we're constantly
union.
Yes, there's division and chaos, and we can't. And that I sometimes believe that that's where a lot of our issues are coming from in our country. they were doing some decade look backs, and they were comparing polls. And so 1990, how many people one religious opportunity each week, and it was in the 50s. Today, it's in the 20s.
Oh, people don't go to church like they used to.
Right. No. And it's just, I think it's the same thing of not being focused on the right things. We're focusing on our tribes and splitting ourselves apart instead of
the goal.
Yeah.
And they lost focus that the king is coming back on the throne.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
they're taking him completely away.
And Sheba is focusing on the disrespect and the hurt feelings and the argument and the tone of the argument or whatever. And he's focusing on that and taking their eye off the king. Before, they were reflecting on themselves saying, oh man, we screwed up. Let's make the king king again. And something happens to cause them to lose the king being the prominent focus. And from what I can see in this historical lesson, it is family drama. Argument with family members. It is the whole pride thing and the feeling of disrespect. And again, that's big with guys. And I imagine some women don't want to be disrespected either, but it's a respect thing. And that will cause you to move the king out of the relationship, and then you got a problem.
Well, and also, you have to remember that our enemy, Satan, is going to use all of these human emotions, because in prophecy, he only knows what... He doesn't know God's plan, but he knows when God is speaking prophecy to David, even, and tells David that the Messiah is going to come from his line. He's going to do everything that he can to thwart David's line. So he is going to be more active with all of the prophecy. As soon as he learns something, he's going to be more active in thwarting the prophecy of the Messiah. So that's why he's getting so busy with David
on his inheritance.
They have an inheritance, but so I was, before she mentioned that, I was just getting ready to ask the question, if we put ourselves in the story. Because has anybody ever dealt with family drama?
Yeah. A lot.
In-laws, outlaws, all of them.
That's what you
mean,
yeah.
House divided. All right.
Some of us can't go back to Georgia.
Has anybody ever felt disrespected and you focus on the pain of the disrespect?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now the only thing that's... So we can all relate to some of the things that are happening here. So the only thing missing is... And before she mentioned it, I was getting ready to ask this question. Who's your Sheba? Only thing missing in the story is... Sheba. Who's the one that comes in your ear and tells you, oh, they done disrespected you, homeboy. Ooh. You know what I mean? You need to go off and do some other stuff. And all of a sudden, whatever that little voice is, that instead of focusing on the king and the kingdom, is focusing on your pride, focusing on your hurt feelings, focusing on, oh, they talk to me too rough. You don't have nobody talk to me like that.
Happens all the time in the first family.
Ooh. Ooh. Who's your Sheba? And if it's not a physical Sheba, it's the enemy. Who sees that you are trying to put the king, who he hates, back in the rightful position. And see you getting so close to where the king wants you to be, that they'll bring up a cost. You don't want them talking to you like that. And all of a sudden, the king is out of the picture. And you only focus on your hurt feelings and your disrespect. And you don't even know it. But all of a sudden, and your resentment. And you don't even know it. All of a sudden, you're off the map. And you don't even know it. Because you're focusing on what he delivered you from.
The respect of the king should trump the disrespect of the world.
Which means, I love that God says, I'm no respecter of persons.
Right.
But man, I tell you, I mean, I'm in the car with my son, and I'm like, if I still wanted to remember the tone of his voice before, it would have been easy for me to forget that the king in his glory needs to be out of this. And so my dad never really told me growing up, son, I love you. Because that generation just didn't do that. They showed their love by keeping food on the table. Refrigerator stocked. That was love. If my mom went to my dad and said, I don't feel loved, he would have told her, go make yourself a sandwich.
Why you didn't have any more brothers and sisters?
Only had one more. And sometimes he ticks me off so much I wish he hadn't had him, but anyway.
No, Chuck, you can look at this. You can go back to Cain and Abel.
It's the jealousy part there. And God even goes to Cain and says, hey, look, if you just do right, follow the steps parenthetically, you'll have what you're looking for. And you'll have my favor. But it's the things of the world. It's the beef with the family. It's the jealousy. It's the disrespect. You didn't respect my offering. So now I'm mad. I'm just so happy that I get to offer anything.
Like, I'll show you.
I'll show you. So, here we go. So, I just want to make sure that we're all okay. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And while you're looking for the big sins that'll throw you off, that ain't necessarily the case.
Little foxes.
No.
Little foxes. Yes, ma'am.
I understand what we're saying about the disrespect. We also, what I'm kind of boxing in as entitlement. Mm. They all feel like they're entitled.
Ooh, I got right there.
That's good. That's how we all feel.
Yeah.
You know, people with family members feel like we're entitled to more than somebody else in the family. They're trying to be
I heard a Bible teaching that I was taking in Boston yesterday, and I had a close thing this week. She got in trouble because she started feeling entitled regarding her husband. With her husband, she would start feeling like, well, he should be this way, he should be doing this, he should be doing that. I was like, stop saying that.
Make sure. Speak into the mic. Speak into the mic.
Couldn't hear that.
Or do something you need, you know, I want to do, especially if I'm already in a little bit of a weak place, you know. And then, you know, it's just like, oh. My mind, you know, crazy.
So I'm driving in the car, taking my daughter, you know, we got the caravan going, we got the van, I got the Mercedes, because I want to drive my 9 hours in style and comfort or whatever. I got a leaky tire, you know, on the right passenger side, driver passenger side or whatever, and driver rear. And I put some air in it or whatever, you know, it's about 40 PSI or whatever, that's the norm for that tire in the rear. And we're trucking along, and all of a sudden my sensors go off. Tire failure. Whoops. PSI is down to 29.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh man, I got a tire failure in Memphis. On the seedy side of town at that. I pull in there and, you know, can't get the lug nuts off because they're welded. They had to get a blowtorch, you know, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what's going on or whatever. And all of a sudden, I remembered in my wallet, I got AAA. Yeah. Roadside assistance. That's a whole new sermon right there. Roadside assistance. Why are you standing out there scratching your head wondering what's going on and you got something with you that'll give you a roadside assistance when you break down on the way. Anyway, but that's just a So they put a donut on the tire or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, I got a donut. You can only go 50 miles an hour. I'm in Memphis. Everybody else got to be in Arkansas at a particular time. I got this donut. Can't go more than 50 miles an hour. I'm like, man, this ain't the solution. This ain't it. And he goes, well, there's a store that's gonna open at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever. I was like, man, that's only 45 minutes away. I wait. I go in there. They say, ooh, you got to order your tire. I'm like, oh, my God, why I drive the Benz to the Brother Civic? I wouldn't have these issues. And so I'm like, you know, we're going to have to order this tire. I'm like, man, I ain't spending the night another time in Memphis. I'm like, I started praying. I said, Lord, you didn't bring me this far to leave me in Memphis. And she said, there's a store down the street. There's a sister store. They may have the time. I think, bottom line, it only took an hour. And everybody else took off. And then my wife decided to stay and ride with me.
That was good.
Yeah. Oh. I bet you now
didn't know. Rest of the story.
Right. I bet you didn't play NPR radio.
No, I didn't play NPR radio with her. I couldn't play Holiday Soul either. But anyway. So she's riding with me, and I'm telling the kids, I'm like, this is a good lesson. This is my fault. I apologize. That tire was leaking all the way, and when we took the tire off, that thing had failed. I mean, you can see the white cords in the tire, so it wasn't, you know, so I'm like, ooh, praise the Lord. I'm like, and then I was preaching to the kids, like, sometimes things don't go according to plan, right. But don't freak out when it don't happen. Just trust in the Lord. It may not happen the way you thought it was going to happen, but that don't mean that God ain't in it and God's still blessed. As I'm riding down the road with my wife, she looks over at me and she says, did you learn anything from this?
Oh, Lord.
Now, the Lord is in the car. The gospel is on the radio. I'm pumping my tunes. I'm in a good place. The donut is off. I got a brand new tire for $189. I know Roger. Hang in there, brother. And we're driving down the road, and God is being glorified, and we're in the mountains of Arizona, and it looks so beautiful and pretty. We're in Arkansas. It begins with an A. I'm old. Give me a break.
And we're making good time.
In fact, if y'all keep pointing out my errors, I might lose sight to God's in this place. But anyway. And she says to me, have you learned anything from this? What did you learn from this? And in my mind, immediately, the king was off the throne. And I had a bunch of comebacks in my hip pocket, like, well, what did you learn from all the mistakes you made in life? And, you know,
stay on the map. Stay on the map. Good point.
I got to get back on map. Because very easily I could have felt disrespected. Very easily I could have said, oh, God, oh, you can't be more supportive than that. You can't. Very easily I could have. Very easily. I had to humble myself. I had to very easily. And I'm sitting up here, I'm thinking about this lesson. I said, very easily. I get it. I understand. Because Sheba is talking to the kid. And I can't let what other people do, in-laws, outlaws, anybody, I can't let what other people do dictate where I am on the map, because it's got to be for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
So if I get defensive over how she said it and what she said, then I'm fighting for my pride. And I'll miss. The king's trying to get back
Amen.
On the throne.
Amen.
It don't take much. Yes, sir.
Remember when Jesus
Oh yeah. John chapter 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They was all coming at Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, he didn't open his mouth. He just
Wrote in the sand.
Wrote the sand.
In fact, we got a study that tells you what he wrote in the sand. We know what he wrote in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just said it say sometimes. Every question don't deserve an answer.
Well, every question don't deserve an answer until you've gone through the process and the four steps.
Well, what they do in the middle of the time is they question.
Yep.
You because he wanted that person to search the motive of why they were asking the question.
Exactly. So you do that self-reflection. So sometimes when you get off track and you hear Sheba talking to you, you got to get that self-reflection to figure out, am I being motivated by Sheba or what Sheba's saying, or am I being motivated by the fact that the king is on the throne?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Believe it or not, I was at my brother's funeral, not his sister, that's upset with me. She spit at me at the graveyard. She was trying to ruin my brother's day and to try to get me upset. And
the enemy tried to get you upset to throw you off. I'm glad you did.
And
you're a better saint than I am.
Once I took this long journey back home,
right?
You know, my younger brother called me up and saying she knows I'm going through a divorce, so she was just trying to eat at me some more, saying she'd go and testify for my husband.
Why do people do? I don't even want to get in the history of why they do that or whatever.
But anyway, you know, then I kind of let it hurt me. You know, it's like, why would she do this to me? And
right.
then I, you know, I kind of, like I said, let it get to me, you know. And it's like I started to get angry, and then I knew I just had to start praying.
Yes.
I would get upset because I told my brother, well, tell her this or that. And then it's like, no, never mind. Forget what I said, you know. I need to pray about this.
Mm. Go through your steps.
That's right.
The whole entitlement thing, I get it, millennials. The entitlement thing, you know, didn't work for this and want this, you know, that gets me. Sometimes parents got that entitlement thing too. I'm entitled to my respect.
Yes, respect your, you know, your mother and father.
If I let that trump the kingdom, I never am able, as I'm leaving my son's house, and I'm looking back at him as I'm getting ready to get into the car, and I look back at him in the shadows of his garage, and I thought about it for a moment, and I'm like, he already knows I love him. I don't need to tell him. But then I'm thinking about my dad and how I left and how he felt, and I'm replaying that, but I'm going to replay it in victory. And I humbled myself and went through the steps and said, while it's not in my nature, it's not in my DNA, because I'm a hard caveman. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm brand new. And it makes it easier when I remember who I am and that I'm living for the glory of God. And it's real easy for me to turn from the car and say, does God get more glory by me just waving goodbye and driving off? Or does God get more glory by me turning around saying, son, I love you? So maybe I haven't spent too much time on this verse one. Okay, sorry about that. I noticed something. Notice the difference also in how Mephibosheth responds in 2 Samuel 19:30 and how Sheba responds. Mephibosheth says, he can have it all. I'm just happy that you're the king. These folk are saying, this ain't happening the way I thought it was going to happen. Church folk, modern big Pharisees, this ain't happening the way I thought it was going to happen. So now we're mad. And you focus on the fact that, why don't you just be happy that he's king? Why don't you just be happy that he's king? All right. Verse 2. So every man of Israel went up. Oh, wait a minute. Where is Sheba on the map? So Sheba's not on the map. So why are you listening to somebody who ain't on the map?
Because he's saying what a lot of them have in their heart.
And those feelings. Don't let Sheba, the devil, enemy, or whatever, focus on things outside of the kingdom that cause you to stop following the king. Sir?
I did ask Dr. Peace in the garden, after he did any first thing to blame God
sure.
for everything that happened. And And that same blamey spirit is in the earth today.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things that we go through in life is because we be blaming one another for
right.
something.
Right, right.
You know,
and it takes the focus off the king. All right. Man, Davey, I'm sorry. This gets quicker as we go. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of wherever he's from. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So I can speed up verse 2. Who are you listening to? And somebody already mentioned that, you know, you don't want to be listening to the enemy. So you got to be careful where your motivation is coming from. And so they listen to this guy because he's appealing to their emotions and their feelings. They feel hurt. He appeals to them. He has them focusing on the wrong thing, their emotions, that they despise, the disrespect. And when they focus on that, they miss the king. Do you hear what I'm saying? Parents, don't let the disrespect cause you to forget that the king needs to be involved. Kids, don't let the family members on your job, don't let the feelings cause you to lose sight of the king. If I was in military school, this is one of the foot stomper things. Don't catch emotion that's going to cause you to not catch the king. I'm telling you this, and I guarantee about two or three folk up in here going to roll out of here, and you're going to get caught up in your emotions or whatever, and the king ain't going to be. Don't bring the king with you when you come to the Christmas party this afternoon. Bring the king with you. Sir?
It's all bound up sovereignty, which is why most people don't want to come to Christ. They don't want to surrender all to him because it's a meaniverse, not a...
Or they think it's a one and done thing.
Right.
I surrendered back then.
Or this one thing.
But he tells you to pick up your cross.
David.
Come on now. You know you started out in a relationship with the king. And then all of a sudden you got caught up in your feelings. And then the king out the door all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden, pick it up again. All right. Now we got... So we see what's going on with Sheba. That's worthless. It's the enemy. An agent of the enemy. We got Israel being duped because of their feelings. David ain't in the picture, and he should have been in the previous chapter. He could have squashed all this. And now we got Judah. What do we see that's so special about Judah? So, in the midst of the family drama, in the midst of the disrespect, while they see everybody else going to their own tents and not following the king anymore, they held on and clung to the king. And they clung to the king and followed him from where he was all the way to level 7, i.e. Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. What do you see there? Is there an application for today? Nobody's talking to me.
Well, I see it today. We discussed it last week about the men of Israel, leaders of Judah. It's like the denominations today that follow Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are steadfast to the word, and some are not. They're picking and choosing.
Yep.
And we need to stay steadfast.
We need to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Mm-hmm. While everybody else goes to their tents, they stayed with the king. They didn't let the hurt feelings or the family drama, all right, cause them to lose sight of the king. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. Is there an application? For, and here's the thing. Anywhere along the way, they could have let go. They could have been discouraged because everybody that was with the king, and then they turn around and they look, here you go, and it's just them. Have you ever had that situation where you're getting so excited and everybody's there, and then all of a sudden you turn around and it seems like you're the only one.
Yeah.
You're the only one still there. Don't go back to your tent.
Or the only one that sees
you. Cling to the king. How do I do it? What does that mean? What does that mean? Cling to the fact that he still is on the throne and wants to be on the throne. Cling to that. Cling to the promise. All the way to level 7. And don't worry. Oh, here you go. Sometimes you might have to let some kinfolk go. Sometimes you might have to let some loved ones go. Because nothing trumps the king. And perhaps if you get to the root of the problem and you focus on the king, he'll bring all these other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, these relationships, shall be added unto you. But you got to follow the king. Because, let me just say this, God, I might get in trouble on this. If they had followed the relatives to their tents, they would have missed the king. You might have to let some folk go. You just might have to let some folk go. Hey, follow the king. They might come back to you. Maybe come back with the right mind. I have to let some folk go. Yes, sir.
Let others influence what you do, because each one of us got to answer for whatever we do in life.
So you can't,
what
you
others
can't,
do, I mean, you can't let others influence who you are.
Right. But here's the problem. We do.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, I know we should, but we do. All right. Here's the last part of this, and we get ready to go. And I wrote this in my notes. Application for today. Don't stop following the king for the reason they did based on a lie. I.e., here's the lie. We have no part in David the king. That's a lie. Everybody in here who has given their life to Christ have a part in the king. In fact, if you go through those steps, then Christ is in you. Oh, when you start reading that book, that little book, you'll find that Christ is in you. So that means you have a part by the blood of Jesus and by your faith and belief in the king. Mm-hmm. I love that Chris Tomlin song. He's a good father. Mm-hmm. Because it reminds me every time I pray, Our Father. And oh my God, if go to the website, go to Bible Notes, go to Matthew. I only got one set of notes out there on Matthew because I get all this new revelation from you guys. It caused me not to put stuff up on the website because I got to do an adjusting and update it. But I do have, we'll give you a website, whatever. And you go to Matthew, and I only got one lesson there. It's Matthew chapter 6. It's analysis of the Lord's Prayer. It'll change how you pray that prayer. Don't let family drama, those things. Don't let feelings and emotions knock him out of the center. So just realize those things. Don't. You have a part in Christ. Oh, and you have an inheritance and a reward. I don't want anybody to keep me from what God has for me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm going for my reward. In fact, don't stop following the king, period. And here's the other part, because they all went to their tent. And I wrote this. The answers to life don't lie in your tent or in doing your own thing. The answers in life, the enemy, Sheba, or whatever, wants you to get to a place where instead of following the king, you use your own understanding and you run and you separate yourself. And you run to your own tent. You will never find the answers to the Lord in your own tent, because that's not where the king is unless you're following those steps. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes when things happen, we separate ourselves from, but don't separate yourself from the king. Make sense? Stop trying to defend yourself, too. Focus on the king. So I gave my daughter an example, trying to show her an example of how to make right decisions that honor the people that you love. So I gave her an example so she could understand it, because it didn't seem like she understood what I was saying. I'm like, no, if you really love somebody, then you'll honor and respect. I think we talked about the gay thing. I don't know. But if you really love somebody, you'll do those things that honor them. You know, Christians do certain things or whatever. They ain't really Christ-like. Well, you got to understand, when you really love God, you'll do those things as a Christian that really honor them. And I said, let me give you a for instance. I'm like, let me see who you love. Your mom. Do you love your mom? And my daughter just has this flowing, oh, yes. I love mom. She is the greatest.
But dad. I know.
So I'm up here trying to put God in the middle of this thing or whatever. I'm trying to, and all of a sudden, it stung. If she's that great, what about me? I didn't say that to her, but it was running through my mind. Why is she so great? She could do nothing without me. I'm Big Daddy, the one that pays the bills. Why? What about me? Do you know what I've done? And Davy, for some reason, I felt like, oh, it's on. This got to be a competition thing. I must outserve my wife. I don't even want to ask you where I am, but I will, because you guys like to beat up on me anyway, looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, we should put Chuck's name on the prayer board. Where am I?
Nowhere.
Depends on if you spoke what you were thinking.
I did not speak what I was thinking. But Christ says, if you let that thing simmer in your mind,
right,
whether you do it or not, you've already sinned.
Okay. And it is going to eventually spew out of your mouth. What? In your mind? Spew in your mouth?
How am I in danger of going off?
Because it's there.
I'm talking to her about godly things, but how did I get ready to go off?
Because you got... Your feelings hurt.
Got my feelings.
Your pride got in the way.
It's the same thing that we've been talking about for the entire morning. That's how easy it is. And so I shared this little story with the inmates last night. I don't know why. It just kind of led to do so. And I told them, I'm not in competition with my wife. Because if I do that, then I'm going to miss God. I want to be able to celebrate. And if she gets all the credit or greater glory for... When I dropped her off at Arkansas, I had to come back because Daddy's got to go to work. But my wife was able to stay there for a whole week and help her set up her apartment and do those things that made her life so much easier. I should be celebrating and not be concerned over who's going to get all the credit and the glory. Why do I care if the king's on the throne and baby girl's being taken care of? And when I share that with them, I don't care what other people think about me. I just care that they can see the Christ in me. And when Bible study ended, one of the guys came up to me and said, I don't know why you told that story. I said, I don't know either, because it ain't in my notes. But he said, I'm in prison, and my son graduated today from Albany State University with a degree, and he has a great job. And I felt bad because I could not be with him. And I reached out to him and said, "Son, do you forgive me for not being able to be there?" And he said, "Chuck, when you shared your story, it let me know. And my son let me know. It's okay. I understand." The more important thing is the King. The King. Sir.
Yeah, I just want to say that I go back to what you were saying earlier about with your daughter. You were feeling disrespected or not respected because you felt like your daughter had more respect for your wife helping out, you know, doing everything.
And let me be on the record. True that, because I wasn't about to stay over there for a week.
but she knew that. Yeah. She knew that. But by you being head of the house, everything, you're responsible for everything.
And you know what? If nobody else sees that, God does.
Because when things start crumbling, they come to the church. They come to
Dad. They always come to Big Dad. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I feel encouraged. All right.